Symbiosis Now, Tyler Colombero here with Allison Colombero.
Hello, that's me.
How are you feeling today, love?
I am feeling very grateful and thankful to be here in this moment, alive and breathing. And, you know, everything from health conditions to economic status. Everything. I'm just trying to be more aware lately of, you know, I'm thankful to be in this moment. And you know what that is that I'm feeling? It's privilege.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm thankful for my privilege.
Cool. Me too. I think a lot of people are. The reality is we have to just be honest and upfront with it. Straight up, forthright with it. But no buts. How about an and? And.
Well, and what?
I feel pretty good. I feel like this is a very pivotal moment in mankind. It's not about me feeling good. I'm saying I could feel it. I could feel that people are making changes out there. I mean, enough so to where just, gosh, like, I had someone tell me the other day, Skeptical Sam hit me up and was like, yo, man, make sure you're not watching too much of that fucking media, man. And I'm like, dude, I totally feel, because I don't watch it anyways. Same. I just don't. We don't, you know, it's not how we roll. But we do watch stuff. And a lot of stuff lately has like been like, well, like last night we were watching the Reconstruction documentary on PBS.
Because that's something that I've watched before. Like recently I watched it, but I wanted Ty to also watch it so we could talk about it. And also I think it's honestly something you probably have to watch like 10 times to get a full, and it's 4 hours long and there's so much information. It's worth watching multiple times.
Like it's a trip, you know? How much like I feel like you and I have transitioned because we've taken the sincerity and the seriousness of the situation going on. To not just kind of get lazy on it and go backwards. Like, what I mean is, like, we used to just kind of chill and watch, like, Rick and Morty or watch whatever. Rick and Morty's great. I would recommend watching that shit, too. But I'm just saying, like, we would just be like, oh, yeah, whatever to fill the time at night or whatever when we're winding down or whatever. Now it's like, yeah, but we got to fucking learn something while we're doing that, man. And I'm so into that shit. And I think that everyone else has a little time enough to watch. Okay, watch your little chill episode of the shit you really like. But then also watch like a half of this other documentary and then finish it the next night after some of the shows you watch or something. Because we all gotta have stuff to chew on, especially if it's reality, you know?
It is really frustrating because there's a lot of people that I feel like have been asking me, like, what's the deal? Or like, but they're not just straight up asking, like, hey, Allison, why do you care so much? They're just kind of like hinting at that. Hmm. But it's frustrating for me because I'm like, dude, I'm out here learning. I'm not a teacher.
We out here learning.
I'm out here learning. I'm not here to teach you. I'm here Hell to just yeah. say, hey, there's a lot left to learn. I'm on the team of let's learn about this. Let's figure out what to do about
it. Let's learn about this.
Unfortunately, we do have to have these icky conversations that involve people feeling uncomfortable. Like, for example, I posted something that I want to read what I posted because it's like, okay, this happened and I'm just going to own it. And I think this is worth talking about. So okay. I posted on my Facebook.
Facebook, oh, that beloved old
the underbelly of the artifact. Okay, so I post on my Facebook. Notice that it's only my white friends and family that stopped caring. Easy to forget about something when it doesn't affect you. Our privilege is on full display. Flex that privilege. You're taking care of now, and you'll be taking care of when it's over. Easy to look the other way when you benefit from a system. Yikes.
Yikes.
And I'll just say that there's 30 people that liked it, and there's 53 comments, and most of them are saying, thank you for sharing this. I see the validity in this. And there was
a lot of cool-ass people saying that, too. Yeah, I respect every single one of those people.
98% of it was either somebody sharing their story about how they've been discriminated against, black friends and family, you know, coming out of the woodwork and saying, hey, this is something that's happened to me. And that's been happening, like, all on Facebook. And it's interesting because the 98% that was strong and good and with it was great, but the 2% that wasn't was just became a valid stark example for exactly what I was talking about. Like, and then I drew the comparison this morning that I said, hey, I want to bring that up in the podcast. Like, it's kind of like thinking that you don't have to care about people that are in a wheelchair, like somebody that's paraplegic. Like, wow, that sucks that that's them. But like, why do I care if there's a ramp? Like, you know, but it's like, damn, you should care. Like that should, you should care. And then it's like, how do you get people to care about something until it affects them? And there's this dual conversation happening because there's, you could go at it with an angle of like, this is the facts, this is what you need to do, but then people are going to shut you down. Or, I'm sorry, is there a quote I need to read over there? I'm sorry.
No.
It's just like I could share things that are facts and it's confrontational. Or I could say, hey, this could be your kid. This could be your son or daughter. Like, okay, with this race argument, whatever you want to call it, people arguing about racism in whatever way they are, an example is like, you think it doesn't matter, but what happens if your son or daughter decides they want to date and marry and start a family with somebody that is an ethnicity that you have never paid attention to or cared to ever learn about, whether it's, you know, you're a white family and your son or daughter chooses to date somebody that speaks Spanish and their whole family is predominantly Spanish speaking and they thoroughly enjoy their culture wherever they're from. If you've never even cared to learn about it, it's going to be like a, it's going to be a shock. It's going to be like, you really need to get on board here and we need to meet halfway. And it's going to take both parties. But it's like, basically, it's just frustrating because I wish people would just care. And with this post, I had said, and it's my only my white friends and family that are just moving on with their life, going on vacation, acting like it doesn't matter. And I went to the mountains the other day. We did. But we're constantly having these conversations.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. Like, we're going exhausting. To hike, and then the whole hike, we're like, we have a little recorder, and we're like, yeah, we got to talk about that, dude, because that shit's fucked up, dude. That shit's real. We need to make the light. We need to bring the light to the situation so that we can see this in full spectrum under the microscope. Dude, what about this? Dude, what about that? And not like conspiracy rabbit holes, more like, yo, look at what's happening right now. Look at how there was protest. Look at how, ooh, people are mad. Ooh, and then we're out there in the foothills or the mountains or wherever, and all we can think about is that we're humans and that humans are strong. And even if we feel strong for a moment, we know that humans feel strong right now, especially because it's time to relinquish the strength and the positivity and all that jazz. But it's more so like we're literally coming to a precipice, it seems. Any footage you see of people in the streets is like thousands or millions of people.
Dude, there is insane like amounts of people. Literally, seriously,
large amounts of people. And it's during COVID and all this stuff. And people wearing masks. It looks like some shit out of a comic book, you know? But we're up in the mountains and it's like, we still see people walk by and like, they'll be wearing a mask, you know what I mean? And we will be too, you know what I mean? And then there'll be the people that are like, fuck this. We're just in the middle of the road. No one cares. Life is just la-di-da-di-da-di-da. You know? Yeah. We're just cruising through in a brand new car that we're renting or whatever, you know? And hey, we all get to get the fuck out. You gotta get the fuck out of the city. But like when we're sitting there in a traffic jam in the mountains, we were just laughing because it's like, all these people in this car probably, man, if they knew each other's Facebook posts, they would, and their disagreements, they'd get out of the car and fight right now. But since we're out of service and no one cares and no one knows each other in this lineup, we're all safe right here. Because really, in all seriousness, we're kind of all safe all the time anyways, because we're all just in our own little cars behind the phone screen. You could look at it like that's the windshield.
Right.
And you're driving that little phone, you know, right off a fucking cliff with some negative shit maybe. Right. Or are you trying to just drive like a badass, like a NASCAR driver or something? You know, especially since they banned the Confederate flag. Hell yeah, NASCAR, you guys are badass. You're getting with the program now.
Finally, shit. Yeah, there's a lot to unpack there.
Yeah, there's a lot of bullshit I just said that didn't make any sense, but thank you.
It's not that it didn't make sense.
No,
I love your freedom of expression because there's so much to talk about. Like, you're a wealth of knowledge when it comes to, well, what the fuck do you want to talk about? Do we have the answers? Absolutely not. But do we know some of the things that are wrong and worthy of suggesting? Yeah. I think that it's important for you to say the things that you say. So then it just begs the question of like, so what are we even doing here? Like, what are we, why did I post this? Like, why did I start that? And why do we feel that these things are important? It's like, I wish that you couldn't just impart empathy on someone and get them to see what it's like before it affects you. Like, so there's the example of, I don't need to care what it's like to be black because I'm white. I only have white people around me. My family's white. That doesn't affect me. Okay, take that same argument with somebody who has a disability. I don't need to learn about somebody with a disability. That doesn't affect me. Okay, but then take it to like, I don't know, anything could affect you in your life without you becoming aware of it. And I guess I just wish people were more well-rounded in what life is like for other people. I think of...
That's an interesting way to say it.
I think of American Horror Story, and I think of the crazy racist white lady that was like the one that owned slaves and everything. Yeah. But then she even put her own daughters.
Dude, American Horror Story.
American
Horror Story.
I look at that. Yeah.
We're just all watching it on TV for years, and now all of a sudden we're like, hey, this is maybe this is true.
It's interesting because books, movies, TV shows, and a lot of it is corrupt, but there's also a whole other half that has been trying to tell us what the fuck is going on and what we should be talking about.
Absolutely.
But then people act like, oh, it's just a movie. It's just a show. So I'm not saying like American Horror Story is like historically accurate. I'm just saying like people bring up conversations all the time. In American Horror Story, that lady that I was talking about that is like the racist lady, she has an interaction with Queenie, who is the black witch in that in Coven. And somehow the racist lady ends up being decapitated and it's just her head. And Queenie takes that white lady's decapitated head and puts it on a table so she can't move because she's just a decapitated head.
Nice.
And makes her watch Roots.
Oh.
Okay? And she watches Roots from start to finish.
Yeah.
I've never seen Roots, but I know that it's a show that will teach you about black culture from, you know, one perspective or something. Again, I'm not saying that Roots is going to teach you all you need to know, but it just is an example of, like, some people really wouldn't get it unless they were a decapitated head or, forced to sit there and watch it.
Right, metaphorically, she was forced to watch it. She was forced to watch it. Therefore, she got it, but most people don't force themselves to watch it. So therefore, maybe they'll just kind of miss it. But we don't force ourselves to look at certain stuff. Because I've said that before with certain things. It's like, man, is that okay to watch? Someone got hurt in that video or someone got killed in that video. But look how many people just post like epic fails and it's just like laughing emojis and everyone just laughing at people literally almost dying or literally they're broken to shit. Like they literally have their back broken. They may be paraplegic, but yet since they didn't die, it's not illegal to use the footage.
You're
somehow
so right.
Or some fucked up shit. It's always been this like, and people are just like, it's entertaining. Tyler, dude, I've been there right there with you. But in the modern world, it seems the further we get into this and everyone has such access to the internet and all this kind of crazy shit, it's like, yo, like, what, like, not to say what should we watch and what we shouldn't, it's just how do we even know what's real, what's realistic? Movies look almost the same as reality. Does life imitate art, or is art imitating life at this point? Like, we don't even know. It's fucking crazy. I think we're coming to a precipice, like I think I already said about 5 minutes ago. You know?
Yeah.
But anyways, that is a great point. Like, unless you are forced to see, like you said, with her just head sitting there because she can't walk away or move or turn around or anything. She can only look straight or even close her eyes, but she has to hear this movie go all the way through.
Or like,
that teaches, you know, that obviously shows some pretty like deep insight to what it would be like as a slave back in the day on the ships and how you'd be treated and whatnot, you know. And basically, I feel like anything in the modern world, even some of the stuff we see, even the one we just watched earlier about this gentleman literally picking up trash out front of his school dorm, and the cops are like, hey, do you live here? And they're making sure he lives there because otherwise he looks kind of sketchy picking up trash out front of where he works, too, because he lives there at the dorm. He also works, like, which is very common at college. Like, we all know that.
He was a student who was doing a work-study program outside of his dorm picking up trash.
Right. He had, like, the claw, like the little claw thing, you know, like the little picker-upper thingy. Yeah, let's call it the trash picker-upper thingy. And a bucket, five-gallon bucket. That's it. And then they were like, you have a blunt object in your hand. We need to put that down, sir. Like, You guys got to look it up. What was it? It was on This Now or something like that.
I shared it on Facebook. It's actually
episode 103.
It's actually from a year ago.
Yeah, it's a little old, but the point is, when you see stuff like that, and if you were to just look away or just skim past it because it's like not interesting to me, not a booty pick or not on my side of the argument necessarily. Just watch some shit. Just unbiasedly go and watch some shit. Dude, I'll watch both sides of the shit where people talk about cops being victimized, all this kind of stuff, you know, and then I hear all the other sides of the story where people have been victimized by the police officers. But ultimately, at the end of the day, a lot of it kind of just leans towards the problem is our system, which is hence why everyone's mad. So why are we arguing about whether police officers should be there or not? Of course, we need some kind of law and kind of protection, but that's just it. We just need protection and service, not fucking basically harassment and what's it called? Probable cause and all this extra shit that just makes people like basically rage bait people until they're violent and then does something to them. You know what I mean? And then like maybe then or says we need to arrest you when really we're doing nothing wrong, but someone comes and makes you mad, i.e. the police saying, well, we need to see your identification. I don't care if you just say you live here. We need to know that you live here. Like, what the fuck? Who says? Who does that? What kind of fascist shit is that?
Yeah, it's really ridiculous, but if you've never had a bad interaction with the cops, it's really hard to imagine.
Right.
And then it's really important that I'm just going to come out and say it. It's a well-known fact in Black history that somebody white has to come in and validate them in order for there to be change. And it's not in every single situation, but it is a common theme. Right. That the person that is of color has a perfectly valid argument and is completely right. But the freaking white racist people won't listen to them until a white person comes in and agrees with them.
Yeah.
So it's like really interesting because like we all need to get on board here, dude.
Yeah,
we all need to see the stark comparison. You know what? The comparison I was saying earlier about you don't need to care about race because you're not that race, or you don't need to care about disability until,
quote unquote, that doesn't affect me.
You know, it's the same thing if somebody ends up in jail. If your husband, wife, son, or daughter, cousin, brother, sister ends up in jail and is profiled for something that they did not do, you would care a hell of a lot more.
It does affect you.
It would, yeah. And it would be like, wow, I know this happens. Or even something as simple as the interactions that we've talked about where the cops will stop us and say, what are you doing here? But then it turns out they didn't even have a reason to stop us.
And besides, it affects everyone. I mean, the reality is like, why is it just the go-to to like throw every human being behind in a cage? Like, you know, literally.
Like, why
in a
do
cage?
You think you don't need to learn about mass incarceration?
And also, I agree, but like, I mean, immediately that is the go-to, and I get people like, well, that's just due process, and it's like, okay, damn. So that's what we all just settle on, the bare minimum of throw a human in a cage, regardless of what the fuck they even did. It could be something hella chill, but technically, like, it's a misdemeanor, but they have to hold them for a day or something. Some bogus shit that they do anyways.
And in indentured like, servitude was different than slavery. Indentured servitude has existed all around the world in many different reasons where somebody makes a mistake and then the person somehow holds them accountable and they're an indentured servant until they pay off their debt and then they let them go in the end, though.
Yeah.
There has been a lot of that along all the races. So the conversation of slavery and then leading to mass incarceration and literally all of the, okay, it wouldn't be a problem if it wasn't a for-profit system.
Right.
And if
absolutely
all the prisoners weren't in there making Victoria's Secret. Okay? Like, that's literally happening, and it's not just Victoria's Secret. I think they actually pulled out, I think, because they were under so much scrutiny
It was being produced.
But the fact of the matter is that it was, and there is still many companies that are and do. So then it's like, well, what, Allison, do you think prisoners shouldn't work? It's like, I think that if somebody commits a crime, they should, if they have to serve 10 years, they should be able to truly rehabilitate themselves in that 10 years. And that's assuming that they actually did the crime, they actually got due process, they weren't said, hey, you should take this plea deal because you're not going to win if you say that you're
not
guilty.
This is the systemic part that we're talking about. Like, we're not saying that, like, people don't, there's a, like circumstances don't, or consequences don't exist. Like, of course they do.
Right.
But how is the same consequence basically for someone that got caught with a joint or something? like the same amount of time as someone who like touched a little kid and they knew damn well what they were doing and they know that that's fucking wrong.
Right. Or even a stark, like, literal example is the people still sitting in prison for marijuana when people walk around smoking marijuana all day, every day now. There's companies that make hella money off of it. It's marketing. Shit. It's so, so legal now.
Think about that when you're rolling up a doobie, folks. Think about that when you're rolling up your next joint. You're just like, man, there's people still in fucking jail or prison right now for a sentence that has to do with this shit.
For getting caught with a joint. Not like intent to sell. Literally, people, like, the laws used to be so strict, especially in places like New York, for example.
Yeah, there, dude, it's fucked up. There is
still places where people are sitting in prison, serving a 30-year sentence for a crime that they, a crime that they committed, you know, 20 years ago, that now people could just do. It's like, what the fuck is that about?
What the literal fuck?
I found that video of the, you know, we were talking about the student outside of the work and doing the work study program.
Yeah.
So the video.
Atkinson.
I went on YouTube.
Zaid. Name. Zaid, I think.
I think you're right. Yeah. I could click on it here. But
good
the,
man.
I typed in.
Stood up for himself like a good man.
I went to YouTube and I typed in, now this cop pulls gun on student. And it's the first one that came up. The video is called, and it's by Now This. It's called Officer Pulls Gun on Student Picking Up Trash Outside of Dorm Building. So it's an 8-minute and 14-second long video. I encourage you to pause the podcast and go watch it now. Come back and you'll know what we're talking about. If you didn't do that and you still are here, the cops harassed this guy and he did nothing wrong. He was outside of his dorm picking up trash, like we already established with the bucket and the metal clamper. Cops came up and said, hey, what are you doing here? The guy said, I'm picking up trash. I live here. And the cop says, well, what's the address? And he says, 2833 Road Doe Drive, or something like
him,
that. He did answer him, but he didn't say,
like,
the dorm number.
Yeah, like,
because
he didn't
the cop said what number.
What need, why, did, exactly.
And then the guy responds and
right.
says, I don't think I need to tell you that.
Because why?
Yeah,
anyone would be like, what? But why? Like,
and
what the fuck is, why ask that question? When I already told, you're asked like 3 questions. Let me ask you a motherfucking question is what he should have said. What the fuck are you doing here harassing me? Don't you have other time to do?
He did.
Know what I mean?
And the civilian actually offers fairly quickly, I can walk inside and put the buzzer and walk in, and you can watch me walk inside if that's what it takes right now. Like, you know, offering a solution to, I understand you, officer, need to me to prove that I live here. I unfortunately do not carry a driver's license on me because I just don't, you know, for whatever reason, I didn't have it. But I do live here. I can go in and get you a piece of mail. Like, you know, he didn't offer the piece of mail, but he literally offered calmly, I can go inside. And the officer persisted and said that's not good enough.
Because he gave him his school ID, right? Like,
yeah.
He's a student here at this dorm. So he belongs here anyways, regardless of whether he's working or not, either way. The point is he belongs there most certainly. If he has a school ID and he's like at the dorm spot.
Yep. Dude. And it is not a law that you have a license. It is not a law that your license
or identification
even have your updated address on it. For years, I walked around with an old license on it that was from, you know,
parents'
house.
No, a license with your old address on it?
Yeah, and it was an updated, fully legal license, but it had an old address on it because I didn't need to update. It's not a law. Like, so, and then to fast forward to the end of the video, it takes the white man to come and say, no, he works here. But the cops didn't validate that white man to say, hey, do you work here? They didn't, like, treat him the same as they treated the first guy at all. The white guy came with the, you know, cross checkered vest on, with his white skin and his glasses and his authority and power, and said, no, I work here, he's good. And then the cops all of a sudden, oh, okay, you're here now.
Right, just like that. Just like that. Well, they hassle him for like literally like 10 minutes about like, I need to know if you live here, I need to know more information about you, sir, I'm gonna put you under arrest, you keep working in front of me, you're gonna piss me off. And he literally had his gun, hand on his weapon, apparently. He was gonna tase him. And he literally was gonna tase him because he referred saying that I will if you come at me with your blunt object. And he's like, what blunt object? I'm picking up trash. This is a bucket.
This is a bucket.
He's like, not the bucket, the other thing. And he's like, this is a trash picker-upper thing. Like, he was getting heated and no doubt Zaid, he had every right to be heated. The sad thing is I feel like it sucks because this police officer clearly was rage baiting a civilian.
There was, you know, no, I mean? Logic like, just rage there. Baiting him.
Yeah, yeah. Literally. Yeah, I mean, I feel like it definitely obviously had to do that that Zaid was of color, but it also was that either way the officer was rage baiting a citizen. Like, no matter what, anyway, fucking way people want to look at it, like, you know, because racism exists. But even for you people out there that don't fucking think that, which I doubt you're even listening at this point,
right?
You know, that clearly that's wrong on all accounts. Just because, dude, you get someone to just kind of keep on, like, poking you in the chest. I mean, someone's going to be like, hey, get the fuck off of me. And then it's like, oh, now you're being violent, sir. I need to call back up. He literally called back up. He's like, you know, 1, 2, I'm a little bitch, you know? Yeah.
Yeah.
And Zay's just like, what the heck? I'm going to keep working. Like, you know, trying to be chill. And they're following him around with the taser on him, dude. There's, like, 5 cops around him now, right? Yeah, dude. Just watch the video. I might as well just describe it to you now, but watch the video too, man. Don't take our word for it.
You gotta go watch it. And it just, there is a power structure that needs to be addressed where it's like, what does it mean to respect somebody? And what does it mean to have an honest conversation with somebody?
Yeah, what
there
does
is
that mean?
Too much blind. Like, why did the cop feel so entitled? Like, I have to fully acknowledge, of course there's people that are trying to do the right thing. Of course there's cops out there that really believe and are doing the right thing. Maybe they haven't profiled somebody in the past, but the fact of the matter is that they have to meet a quota.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the day, quota. If they don't meet their quota... Yeah. They're going to be like the Amazon workers in the factory pissing in a bottle because they don't have time to make it to the bathroom. People start cutting corners, and respect and integrity and all that is out the window. This interaction only is visible to us because of the cops' footage. They are doing it, and they think that it's the right thing to do. So just like I have sympathy for the civilian, I also can't lie that I have sympathy for the cop because, like Alan Watts said, these poor bastards. Who would do
these
that?
Poor devils.
These poor devils. I'm sorry. Yeah, I don't mean to say bastards. Poor devils.
They,
like
they have to go do this work of, like, basically kind of like some satanic ass work in the sense of, like, hey, you, I have to defend something and I have to.
No questions
I have
asked.
To, no questions asked. Just put you down and take you in because it says so. I don't use my discretion. It's the law.
No conversation, you know? Had. Like, you know, and so many of these interactions could be better diffused if there was just a conversation had that was an honest.
Like, it's almost like to be, quote unquote, like what people say, like, there's good cops and there's bad cops. Like, to be a, quote unquote, good cop would be like, you'd have to defy more of what you're told to do.
Yeah.
And that's what we acknowledge and we say, hey, man, you guys out there. We see that. We acknowledge that. That is a noble thing to do, undoubtedly.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, just as us, that a lot of people are just basically following orders. Just kind of following, hey, that's what you do. If someone's breaking the law, there's no discretion, there's no discrepancy. You lock them up, you tow their car, you know.
Yeah.
Whatever. You put them in more financial instability. If they get out of line, you basically now have the freedom to beat their ass. Now, people could say, well, I'm not going to do that. But, I mean, if you have the freedom to, it's pretty easy to get out of hand real quick, you know? It's interesting, though, because...
Human decency is out the
window. It's like people want to be like, Tyler, how did we get here today? How does that make sense, though? Racism isn't real. We got rid of that in the 60s. And then 100 years before that, they abolished slavery. Tyler, you just sit the fuck down. Well, you know what I have to say? Is that in the 60s, and I ain't talking about the 1960s, the 1860s, yeah... They fucking ended the war, and they abolished slavery. And then they fucking killed the guy who said, yeah, we're going to abolish slavery. And then who took over? Andrew Johnson, who was a drunk asshole, who basically just because he was just like, let's just let the South do it however they want, even though they just lost the fucking war. And then gave them false hope to keep flying a flag that basically represented a dream of what could have been, but really never could be because they're losers.
The lost cause. Yeah. They literally wrote the lost cause to talk about how...
Henceforth, the Confederate flag is what I'm referring to because it was only like a flag for like 4 years, maybe, because the Confederacy was only alive for like that long when they succeeded from the Union, right? They fly that flag and then they get fucking, dude, just demolished essentially. And they were like, we only lost because you had more artillery. And it's like, okay, but you lost. You fucking lost, bro. You guys wanted to start a fucking war. And then they were like, okay, well, we lost, but we don't want to integrate. we don't want to have black people around here doing and this and that. They're the cotton pickers. And it's like, what the fuck? So then they were like, okay, well, okay. We understand it's very, it's really sudden that you were thinking that you were probably going to win, but you didn't win, you know. And it's like, that's not valid, South. You can't still fly a flag and think, well, we didn't win, but man, we could have, and this is what it would have been if we would have. So in that case, then, were you ever really part of the United States? Some parts of the South argue that they aren't. They argue that they're not part of the United States, like that they've just been told they have to, kind of like how Texas talks about it, right? And interesting enough, because today is June 20th, 2020. Yesterday was Juneteenth. Interesting enough, that represents the last people, the last African Americans during that time of slavery in this 1865. Now, what, it was like in 1867 or something. It was like 2 years after the abolition of slavery that they were informed that, hey, you don't have to be a slave anymore. And they were like, what? They're like, yeah, it's like 2 years ago we made a law. And they're like, well, then why are we still here for 2 years? And they're just like, they wanted to get another harvest or some shit. And they're inland. Texas is inland, so it was longer to get there probably. And they probably had up a bunch of fence saying, nope, we got to sell this cotton or we got to sell this corn or whatever the fuck those assholes are growing. Hey, and it is what it is. But Texas, y'all rage, y'all go hard, but y'all are different. Straight up, y'all are different for a long time.
Yeah, everything's bigger in Texas, right?
So basically, Andrew Johnson basically just like revoked abolition after abolition. Like he kind of just gave the South, say, yeah, just jump through these loopholes and we'll rewrite it and just don't, you can't have slaves like straight up cracking whip, but you can do those things. You just have to do it justified now. You have to have it all documented. It has to be through these certain loopholes that you can find through our Constitution, which was written to basically protect slavery at that time, too. It never stopped, you know? Regardless of what, you know, if you look into these documentaries, guys, or not, you know, the reality is that's pretty obvious, right? It didn't stop. Who said, you know? Look at how people still get all defensive over their Confederate flag. They want to still fly it. And all it represents is, like, I guess, rebellion is what some people say. But no, it literally is symbolic for white supremacy.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it is.
Because that's what most of the South also believed. It wasn't just that they felt like they belonged to have freedom of capital. It was like, we have freedom of capital because our capital only exists due to basically dehumanizing people and using them as, yeah, as like machines, as robots, like, yeah. We, you know, practically.
Some shit out of Black Mirror.
Yeah, some shit out of Black Mirror.
That is our true history.
Right. Or American Horror Story, which is our true American Horror Story. Yeah.
Yeah.
What you got? What you got over there?
Well, I'm going to read this article about systemic racism in Fresno.
Okay, yeah. Local news. Local news coming in hot, fast. Ooh, Allison Colombaro.
Alrighty. Here we go. From the Fresno Bee. This is written by Manuela Tobias, and it is called Systemic Racism Isn't Just About Police Brutality, and It Has a Long History in Fresno. Oh, I want to put a pin in that because I'm going to read it in a second, but I remembered something. You were talking about the Confederate flag just now. Somebody made a, like, the girl, one of the girls who is online defending using a Confederate flag said, I have an American flag inside, a Confederate flag in the garage. People around me fly Mexican flags. What's the difference? Should she compare
a
flag from Mexico, which is an actual country with its actual flag, with its actual extensive history of fighting for independence and all of these things that are truly virtuous compared to the Confederate flag? Like, right. It's incomparable. It. The soil, yeah. I stand on used to be Mexico. Absolutely. People could fly their Mexican flag. Fly it.
Absolutely.
Fly your American flag. Fly your Mexican flag. But a Confederate flag? Are you joking? Like, to compare the... Come on.
It's not comparable.
It's incomparable.
It was never a country.
It was
That's like, that's kind of like saying, like, right now how people make a joke about Chaz, like Capitol Hill Autonomous Zone, like, technically that's not a nation. But it's like, technically they kind of just seceded in a way. They kind of were like, fuck you guys, man. This is all bullshit.
Yeah.
So that, you know what happens when things like that happen? Civil wars start.
Oh, and the news
and it's interesting
is,
because we're acting like it just didn't, like, they can't do that. And, like, that's not happening. And I don't really know the logistics and the law of it, but the statement made is kind of clear, don't you think? Like, they're kind of more bold than Texas and all this. They're more bold than some of those South states that just, like, we don't really. I guess we'll just run by your rules because we don't want to have a say because, man, we don't want them to send in the military and shit. These fools up in Capitol Hill are like, fuck it, bring them in. Gas all around. We've heard the song.
And part of the reason, you know, is the violence is because there is a disconnect between what's happening on the ground and what the media is showing. And there's
a combination
with that disconnect of intentional lies and non-intentional lies.
Right.
Like, we have to acknowledge that there is people trying to tell the truth, but they just don't have the full truth.
Right.
So they're out there perpetuating a lie.
Yeah, like Dr. Cornel West would say, he's like, the phones are smart. Let the phones be smart. You be intelligent. Good man. You guys got to watch anything Dr. Cornel West, man. He is the best dude ever.
Yeah, he's amazing. I was going to show you this real quick, Ty, but I'll read it. So, the news lies again. Shocker. So this is King County, Seattle, the five demands for Black Lives Matter.
Okay, five demands.
These first two have been met already. Stay under the DOJ consent decree and the curfew.
And the curfew, okay.
Okay. Display your badge number.
They still haven't done that, is what you're saying then.
I don't know the validity of this. I'm saying that this is a post going around on
Facebook.
This is comparing what the King County, Seattle is demanding and then what the news is saying they're demanding. So what they're demanding is to display your badge number, establish a de-escalation team, I-940 was not enough, and reallocate funding from SPD to health and social services.
Right.
They are asking very legitimate things that you can gaslight and run it over all you want, but those are very, to display your badge number, to establish de-escalation, and to reallocate funding to health and social services sounds like a great plan for a place like Seattle where crime rate is not, like, they don't need to worry about crime as much as they need to worry about poverty. Like, let's take care of the poverty in our areas, and then the crime rate will also drop.
Dude, honestly, Seattle is full of such amazing people. It's
progressive,
like, it's almost kind of like,
truly,
they're not to say that this is what they're thinking, but I feel like most people in Seattle are kind of like, fuck it, if we burn it down, we can all build it. We're all smart. We all are skilled, tradeful people. We really know how to do this anyways,
right,
without them. That's why they're kind of saying, we don't really need you, just to remind you, federal government, and even the state government at certain levels, that we don't technically need you.
Right.
You know, you need us. And you know, people say, Tyler, that's too aggressive. I say, what the fuck? No, literally, think about it. Doesn't that make you a little pissed off that people just brush that to the side, that as if we're not necessary? Like, everyone at, like, the working class level is absolutely necessary for any of the
power
ladder.
Should be
for
to
any
the
of
people.
The ladder to happen.
Yeah.
You know, you can't have the ladder without the former. And we are the former. You know, and I don't mean to sound so righteous, but, like, literally, you working class people, including me and you, yo, we are the former.
Yeah.
So if they want to get to the ladder, you know, going on big jet payoffs and all this kind of jazz, going on vacay and shit, they got to basically get us satisfied. Otherwise, that shit ain't going to happen again.
Right.
Bye-bye.
The reason I brought up this post about the news lying is because what King County, Seattle is demanding is very logical and realistic.
Yeah.
But what the news reported,
right,
protesters demands to Seattle government, abolish Seattle PD in the court system.
Which is not what they said.
That's not what they said. Abolish imprisonment. That's all. Abolish imprisonment.
But neither of those things were
neither
in that other
things.
List that you showed me. Yeah.
Free college for the people of Washington State.
They didn't say that either.
De-gentrification of Seattle, something with rent control. So it's just an example that, like, there is a error in communication between the footwork on the ground and what is actually being asked.
Of course there is. There always is.
Between what is being put out on the media saying.
Doesn't it say enough about itself?
It's a game of telephone. Of course it is.
It says enough about itself that even if you said good things, by the time it gets up to the top, they're like, wow, they're just still bitching. And it's like, no, actually what we started with was saying, hey, I think this is enough. We just want human rights to be kind of equal for everybody, you know?
Right. Like, how does this make you feel, Ty, when I say everybody deserves clean drinking water?
I think we can all agree on that.
You
I think
and
that
I
we
can
all
agree
on that, but most people, I think, go, Not most people. Fuck this most people shit. Most people agree on that. I think most people absolutely would agree on that. I think human beings agree on that because we all know without it, we can't do anything, man. You know? But when it really comes down to it, that's not what we talk about to make sure that that's on lock. We assume that's on lock. And who are we trusting to make sure that that kind of shit's on lock?
Because it's
this,
not.
This whole thing is like everyone is just demanding, saying, hey, this ship is out of control. Y'all said you were steering it properly and taking shit tons of money from us. At this point, if you're taking that much money, fuck that. You're not doing what we need you to actually do with it. Invest it back into our communities like we actually need here, where you took that money from.
Yeah.
It's that simple. It's not really complex. Right.
No, and you know? We just watched a little mini like documentary expose about Nestle and them going in and doing what every major water company does. Where they say, hey, there was a law passed that says that all people need water. So what we're going to do is we're going to go take this perfectly good water from this community, whether it's in America or not. We're going to take this perfectly good water and we're going to bottle it and sell it to the upper and middle class.
It's just tap water.
It's tap water in a bottle. Municipal city
water like source.
And they hide behind that guise of, well, we're providing water.
Yeah.
We're providing water, but it's like, yeah, but everybody has a fucking sink. Okay, I used to have bottles of water. I have an issue with bottled water that I wish I could just stop. I'm not going to go and say that I'm perfect when it comes to that. But the problem is that it shouldn't even be, it shouldn't even be there. It is the consumer's responsibility, but above that, it's the fucking company going out and doing that.
And even if, okay, even here, you guys are going to be like, fuck you, Tyler, Allison, I've had it. It's the last straw. You're telling me I can't buy bottled water and shit now? No, that's not what we're saying. What I'm saying is damn straight, if you're going to fucking buy it, at least make sure when you dump that shit out, if you're not going to recycle it, you better recycle it. I don't see why you wouldn't. You make money off of it, and they charge you for it at the door. You might as well go and recycle it. Have, like, a little bin. Just throw all your bottles back in there and take them back. Or just how about this? Open that bottle, reuse it, like, 100 times, then throw it in the recyclable bin. Voila. That's what a bottle's designed for. But if you're going to suck down that juice of that bottle, toss it in the fucking trash can, it goes to a landfill with the lid on and there's a little water left in there, think about the life of that water in that little bottle. That little drop of water even that's in that bottle with the lid on is never going to escape that little dome that it's trapped in. That little ecosystem that it's trapped in now is inside that bottle because it's in its own atmosphere essentially. It no longer will go back into our circulation of, you know, the water cycle, the nitrogen cycle, all this kind of stuff, how people talk about it in grade school, right? You know, it rains, then it goes down in the ground, and then the clouds get heavy again, and then it rains again, you know, and all this kind of shit. Point is it's the water will be trapped in that little water bottle. Now times that a billion per year or whatever that people are just dumping in the landfills.
Right.
That's a lot of our water. That's where our water's going. But we're over here going, they're just trying to make capital of bottling water. I mean, anyone would, right? No. Right. Not just anyone would. Someone that knows damn straight that that is fucked up and wrong. And at some point, we are going to own it all. We're going to own all the water. It kind of is like I've only seen Mad Max a long time ago, but it reminds me of shit like that. Like someone's got the only source of something. You are basically at the whim of them. You know?
Right.
And when it's water. I mean, we're not even talking oil and stuff. We technically don't need oil. We don't drink oil. We can't put oil on our... Yeah, on the soil and grow plants, like, you know what I mean?
Right.
But we need water. Need water.
There is a stage that we have evolved to that I am proud of, where it's like, yes, we still have bought bottles of water. We haven't completely written that off. However, just the other day, we had that gallon of water, and you went into the store and you asked the lady, can I just fill this up instead of buying another bottle?
I told her straight up. Absolutely. I told her straight up, I bought the same exact bottle of water the other day at Dollar Store. For $1, obviously at the dollar store, for $1, and you are charging it $3.50 here. I told her, I'm sorry, it's three times the price. I can't do it. But
also, it's the bottle.
I'm just going to be honest with you. I just want to refill it with some water. Yeah. Do you guys even have a spigot or something? She said, hey, I'll fill it for you in the sink. She helped me fill it and everything. La-da-da. Nice lady.
Yeah. And it just is like, you know, doesn't mean... If you find yourself in a situation where you're very thirsty,
what a nice lady.
You can't buy a bottle of water.
Yeah, exactly.
It just is like, okay, buy the bottle of water. If you need to drink water, of course. You're a human being. I'm not telling you to not drink water, whoever's listening. I'm saying, like, if you got to buy that bottle of water, buy it. But, like, The reason we have bottles of water is because we bought them to take to a protest, rally, vigil thing that we didn't end up taking because it wasn't necessary. So now we have these bottles of water. So yeah, the other day I cracked one open, but then I reused the bottle and turned it into a fly trap because the flies are going crazy in the living room.
Yeah,
when
you cut the top off, flip it upside down, put some juice and some yeast in there. Yeah,
and then it becomes fly trap and has another purpose. And so things like that where it's just think about another purpose for these things. Like it all matters and it all is at the cost of somebody else. Like that quote right there says from our professor, Dr. Robert Cannell, that is no longer with us. He passed away, but he was such an amazing, wise man, great professor. And he said, there's no such thing as a free lunch. That means that bottle of water, where did that come from?
The raw materials to make the bottle, whether it was recycling or originally from the petrol plant, which is fucking weird because it's a waste product turned into something to use as a vessel to put liquid in to drink, which is weird in itself. But so that came from somewhere. Then the water itself, where did it come from? Oh, it came from a mountain stream in Fiji. Even then, dude, that's kind of fucked up. Like, you think there ain't people that live in Fiji that need that water? And there's just this big factory just
with a straw,
just squirting water from this. You think it's just like someone walks out there with a tote full of bottles and they submerge them in the stream and they do a little chant, ah, Fiji, ah, Fiji, and then they put the lid on and then they kiss the bottle and they put it there and it ships it, and then before you know it, it just comes right out of that little cooler at 7-Eleven. Like, it doesn't exist like that, you know what I mean? Like, it's just a big old factory. Pumping out bottles, trucks, bunch of fuel, industry, da-da-da, here we are, vendors to load your store and every other 100 stores around this mile block. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So what all this to say that I think that the reason people don't care is because they don't know.
Yeah.
And the information is there, but it's just so far away, especially if you're 50 and you're
right
a grandma
in front of us.
And you've got all your life.
Right,
I mean, it's
too.
Right there in front of you.
If you just paid attention to ecology or really just like, everyone's so obsessed with the economy, but if they just really looked at it like you are in an economy as you're alive and stuff, people would be like, oh shit, yeah, we don't need that as much.
Like for
what
example,
we were talking about
walk,
was us, you
yeah,
know?
Yeah, when you walk into that gas station, if on that bottle of water it said, this was so, before you buy, you could buy this, but before you do, you have to watch this 1 minute video to see the process of where it came from, just a little time lapse. And you saw the village, or, you know, even if it's just some small town in a developed country like the United States or England or wherever, mm-hmm. where they're tapping in the water there, you see what the community looks like around and how, you know, impoverished or the state of that community. And then you see it go to the factory and you see the state of the workers in the factory and you see the petroleum being melted into the shape of the bottle and you see the marketing and all the money that goes into the marketing that goes into the label, all boiled down, beautifully served to you for $2.17.
No
it's
problem.
All yours.
I'm going to choose that for sure, dude, because I'm on the fly. I barely make any money here, too. It's kind of like we said. It's a trap system. It's
what if you had to sign a waiver and if you saw all the waste? Like, included in that time-lapse video, what if you also had to acknowledge what happens with that bottle after you let it go?
Yeah, but how do you track that? Some chip weird fucking
No. I'm not saying literal. I'm saying, like, I'm trying to prove a point that there is a disconnect between the consumer and that item. They think that it's not a problem. They think that it's not hurting anyone. And I'm saying if people could just see, literally, we just named so many things, you know.
People could just see what?
The reason why it's a problem.
Right.
The who it does hurt. If you knew what you were doing hurt somebody, would you change what you're doing?
Well, I mean, it's crazy because, like, literally, like, we all break so many laws in one day. Like, people can say, what do you mean, Tyler? Not me. Fuck you. Like, you know? But seriously, dude, like, you think that you always stop at every stop sign completely? I doubt it because I never see anyone completely stop. And if they do, it's usually in a school zone or something because they ain't fucking around. They're not trying to get a fatty ticket. But most part, in the cuts or whatever, nobody really gives a shit. You know, just like, I don't know, technically, you're not supposed to even turn on the car, I don't think, unless you have your seatbelt on. You're not supposed to be texting or have your phone, like, even not on airplane mode or whatever while you're driving and shit. You're supposed to do all that shit. Technically, that's illegal not to. We all just cruise around, like, whatever. point is, we could go on and on and on about like what you accidentally stole or what you just accidentally didn't acknowledge today or yesterday or whatever, but we all break shit tons of laws. They may be just whatever laws, but the fact is they're fucking laws too. Just like, I don't know, people smoking weed or some shit, or like, I don't know, it's, that's just the law that people do that stuff.
Morality. Why do we have to act like people don't do that shit
and they need to go into a cage because of it? But yet, because you didn't tip the server, which is pretty much to me fucking a crime, because they served you, you're supposed to, literally, that's how they make a wage, you asshole. You're supposed to pay, tip every server that helps you, you know.
But that's also another disconnect, babe. Yeah. People don't realize that. Why do I need to tip somebody when they're getting paid to do their job? In California, I'm not saying that you shouldn't. I'm just saying that...
That's what people are... Well,
in California, for example, we have a minimum wage. Right. So everybody works for a minimum wage, whether you're a waitress or this. No matter what, it's a California state law. State law in freaking Michigan or Iowa, they waitresses and servers, waiters might get paid $2.10. In which case, yeah, they are living on their wages. That's not a livable wage by any means. You know, no matter what your economy is like around you, how can you progress when you make $2 an hour? It's 2020. Come on. What are we even talking about here? This is insane. This runs deep. And it's a disconnect. There's a huge disconnect.
Absolutely.
So we have to make the choice. Do we want to bridge that gap? What do we do here? Where do we roll? What's our role here? You know, you're about sustainability. What gets you fired up is the ecology of it and trying to have a better world for the people that are going to be here after we're long gone.
Because we're the former. And we can't have the latter without us, you know. So really right now, critical moments like these... my people, you guys out there, man, people of all color, people of all walks of life, everyone standing up saying, hey, yo, this shit is corrupt deeply. We got to do something different. I hear you. We hear you. We're there with you. We got to keep this strong. But definitely just don't let that idea die, because it's not just an idea. It's momentous and so prolific, and it's growing. It's literally growing because we're nurturing it. Our future could be much, I don't want to say better.
More harmonious.
But more harmonious.
More symbiotic.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. More symbiotic. Hell yeah.
I was going to read this article, but I'm not going to read it now because we're going to wrap up. But I just wanted to mention that it's the Fresno Bee article. Systemic racism isn't just about police brutality, and it has a long history in Fresno.
Of course it talks
about things like the roads not being repaired in low-income areas, the city not maintaining those areas the same, redlining, everything. It's everywhere. It's everything. And it's in the schools. It's everything. So that article is worth reading if anybody's made it to this point and they happen to be like, what was
read
that
it.
Article?
Look read into it. The history of your local towns.
Was
Look
your town a sundown history. Town?
Was your town a sundown town? No.
Ours was.
We got time. What's a sundown town by definition, Allison? Because I know we live in Reedley, California, right? This is some crazy little small little Mennonite town right out here in the cuts.
Sundown
in
towns.
The Central Valley of California.
Are known as sunset towns or gray towns, are all white municipalities or neighborhoods in the United States that practiced a form of segregation by excluding non-whites via some combination of discriminatory local laws, intimidation, and violence. And our town that we live in right now was, and in many ways is, a sundown town.
Right.
It is not illegal to walk in the middle of the night when you are an adult and you are not under the influence. And then those are separate conversations, okay? But, like, literally, it's not. Even the way our system is now, it's not. I'm 25. I could walk down the street in the middle of the night, and I guarantee you I'm going to get pulled over.
Right. Or we're going to see at least three cops drive by like they're
everywhere.
Just swarming.
Everywhere.
Yeah.
Everywhere.
Yeah.
Supposedly keeping you safe. But if you got to get... to work or get home from somewhere, you're nervous then about the cops pulling up on you and thinking that you're doing something wrong, when it's like, dude, it's 4 a.m. I'm on my way to work.
Like that time, you're bringing up that time where I worked at Fresh and Easy, which isn't even a company anymore. It doesn't even fucking exist. They went bankrupt and just let go all their employees with no fucking severance pay or nothing. That was crazy too. And that's a story for another time. But I remember one morning, I was the opener, dude. I loved it. You know, I like getting up early, getting into my job early, getting out early, so I have my rest of my day to do what I got to do. You know what I mean? Take care of my garden or whatever it is. Well, I was going in at 4 a.m, start at 4 a.m, get off at 1. So I work 8 hour shift with hour lunch type deal, right? You know, I loved it. Going in then was great. I'd either skateboard, walk, or ride the bike. Well, that one morning in particular, I rode the bike. I was jamming, lit me up a cigarette on the way. Put it out by the time I got there and everything by the front door. They had a last tray or some shit, and I pulled up on my bike, and here all of a sudden comes this officer. Bloop. No, I didn't even pull off my bike yet. I might even light a little cigarette. I'm just like tripping because I remember I smoked cigarettes back then. So it's crazy. But I'm rolling up literally right in front of the place I work at, Fresh and Easy, this grocery store here in our small town. And it's on a good side of town, quote unquote, whatever the fuck that means, but it is. And I'm just cruising up. Whoop whoop, lights and everything, dude. I get off my bike and I just go, hey, what's going on, man? He's like, what are you doing out here? And I'm like, I'm going to work, man. I had my Fresh and Easy hat on, my shirt on, my name tag, everything, and I'm on my bike. Yeah, but I had lights. I had like the back brake light blinking and the front headlight, you know, just
yeah, it's not against LED the lights. Law to ride your bike
exactly
to work.
It's not against the law to ride your bike at 4 a.m. any fucking ways.
Yeah.
But he said, well, it's just kind of weird because you're out here riding your bike at 4 a.m. or whatever. And I was like, dude, I'm literally starting to work here in a few minutes. I'm waiting for my coworker to roll up and we're going. And he was just like, oh, okay. Well, have you ever been arrested before? And I'm like, in my head, do I need to fucking even answer this? Why? I'm going to fucking work, man. Well, at that time I was on felony probation and I said, yes, sir, I am. Yes, sir, I have. And he's like, what for? And I said, a DUI. I just kind of made it light of it real quick. And he's like, oh, yeah, you just stop drinking. You'll be all right. Or some shit like that. And it's like, dude, if you only knew, dude, I didn't have a drinking problem. What the fuck? Fuck you, man. You know? And anyways, it was just so funny because he wanted to keep this conversation going and he kept looking for something to dig up. I don't remember the full conversation because I kind of just started getting kind of quieter. Luckily in that moment, my coworker Gabe, you're the man, bro, out there in the world. I know you're doing big things now. He rolled up and he got out the car and sure enough, the cop was like, oh, gotta go, got an emergency call or some bullshit like they always fucking do. Look for those signs. You know you've been wronged if that's how they leave. Just saying almost every time, especially if they just grabbed you or beat you up or fucking stopped you and made you feel like you're doing something illegal when you weren't, and then they all of a sudden they just gotta go, huh? How convenient. Well, that's what happened. So I'm just pissed off and I go inside and that was it. But man, you know, these kinds of things happen in our small town. It's fucking crazy. But anyways, thanks for listening to that story. I got more stories to tell. This is times of legends and stories and truths and all that kind of stuff to come out.
Well, the
for
reason,
us across the world, baby.
The reason you told that story is because Reedley used to be a sundown town.
Right, so they're still rolling at that.
There is parts of that that carry over today to judge harsher on somebody who's out at night. Now, why in 2020, when people work from home, have their own lives and their own relationships, go to the gym at 3 in the morning,
24/7,
you know, 24/7 things, why is it weird for somebody to be out at night? And if cops were respectful and diligent and approach situations without being so quick to chick, chick, bang, you're dead, then maybe we would feel safer and say, oh, well, this officer just has my best interest in mind. Oh, they're just trying to make sure I'm out here doing what I'm doing. But there's been way too many times, endless, infinite examples of people that were doing nothing wrong and still were harassed. In the name of protecting whom or what? This is common people that are getting harassed by the cops.
Right.
And I implore whoever is listening to this, seriously think about the interactions you've had with cops. Think about the choices that you make and what's legal and illegal and what you've gotten away with. For me, I got pulled over before when I was like 19 and the cop was not happy with me, but he didn't give me a ticket. I got away. I used to look back and think that that was an honorable cop. And now I'm like, that was a shady cop. He probably should have given me a ticket.
Yeah, because you were breaking the speed limit.
I was breaking the speed limit. I was going 35 in a 25 when there was a soccer game going on a Saturday.
You know?
And so it's like, I'm not saying that there should be no consequences. I'm saying that I have seen how cops can play favorites and decide what they want to do when they want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And
which means they can play unfavorites too.
And
right.
Exactly.
Disfavorites. I don't know what the opposite of that
is. And you know what?
I was
scared. I did not stand up to that officer and say, oh, I knew better. I damn near pissed my pants. You know? Yeah. So, and I think he was like, okay, well, she, you know. She, and I do think about that to this day. I know I don't.
Maybe like he scared you enough, like where he didn't need to crack down the whip, and that's really what everyone uses as force. But it's like not necessarily so, because some, you know, if you had been Hispanic, which there's tons of Hispanic people around here, would it have been the same as
it
like?
It was my feebleness like, that yeah. protected me. It was my nice feebleness.
It was your privilegeness that protects you. Like we said earlier, the privilege is the cloak. The privilege is the cloak, and that's why everyone makes fun of it, and then people defend it so much because they're like, that's how I stayed safe, as I made it look like I was privileged, because privileged people get away with more things.
Don't look broke and you won't get interaction with the cops. Don't look like a homeless person and they won't stop you. It's like, oh my God, the lack of compassion and empathy is actually really discouraging.
The privilege cloak. Do you wear the privilege cloak? Thank you so much for all listening. This is Tyler Colombaro on Symbiosis Now.
This Allison. Is Allison Colombaro.
Shoo.
That's me. That's Don't wear it out.
Hell yeah.
That's my name.
Thank you for bringing such good information to the table, having a great conversation with me and us.
Yeah. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you, my husband, for being my best friend first. And then he was my boyfriend, and now he's my husband.
So hell yeah.
What a freaking trifecta.
So now what are we going to do? We're going to go study more shit, because life don't stop. Therefore, the research can't stop. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you, guys.
But mostly, thank you, humanity, for defending itself.
Right.